Well, let us begin our services today with prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God, we do bless thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. We thank thee that we have been favoured once more to come up to the house of God. We thank thee for the Sabbath day which thou hast given us. And Lord, and though so abused by many, we bless thee, O Lord, that it is the best day of the week to thy dear people. And so we come, O Lord, seeking that thou wilt hear our prayers, that thou wilt be gracious unto us, that thou wilt feed our never-dying souls. And we pray, O Lord, that this occasion will not be in vain, but, O Lord, that each of our living desires may be that of little Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So do hear us, then, we humbly pray, and pardon our many sins, as we ask it all in that precious, worthy name, the name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Very warm welcome to each worshipping with us this morning, whether here present or any listening online, whether they be at home or abroad. And we do trust the Lord will bless the word that our dear brother, Mr. David Cottington, will bring to us, and we welcome him once more to our pulpit. And may the Lord be over all as we seek to worship him this morning. Now, all our hymns are from the Hymns for Worship hymn book. Our opening hymn, 65, hymn number 65. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Hymn number 65.
To make truth and grace, and makes the nation proud. The glory is all his righteousness, the wonders of his love, the wonders of his love, the wonders, the wonders of his love.
Turn with me to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. St. Luke, chapter 2, and we'll read the first 35 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her hearts. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word and favour us as we further sing his worthy praise.
We continue now with our second hymn, number 70. Hymn number 70, the tune is 270. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around. Hymn number 70.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. O thou most holy, ever merciful, long-suffering, faithful, almighty Lord God, we bless thee for the privilege, for the miracle of prayer. We thank thee that a way has been made whereby sinners may approach unto thee. Lord, as we come in the name and for the sake of thine own beloved Son, the dear Lord Jesus, and Lord, we come pleading his precious name, pleading his precious blood, pleading his righteousness. We come blessing thee, O Lord, for that precious promise that was fulfilled, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank thee, O Lord, that as we approach this time of year, that we remember, O Lord, thy great goodness, Lord, that at that time that was decreed in eternity past, that this glorious man, the man Christ Jesus, a body was prepared for him, even in the womb of Mary, as that body was formed by the Holy Ghost. And we thank thee, O Lord, that he added to himself a body like our own. And we bless thee, O Lord, that he was spotless, innocent, harmless, and pure. Yea, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And, Lord, as we come this morning to consider him, we ask that we may be favoured with that living faith to view him even in the womb of Mary, to view him, Lord, in that cradle, in the crib, in the manger, to view him from the manger to the cross, and, Lord, and to be favoured to view him. Oh, might it be so for each one of us, we plead, to view him suffering, bleeding, dying in our room, place and stead. Oh, to view him, our sins imputed to him, and, Lord, and to hear him cry, "It is finished." Oh, we bless thee, O Lord, that full atonement he has made. Peace has been made between God and sinners, poor sinners reconciled to a holy God. As that blessed substitute, his sacrifice was accepted. Oh, and as we consider, O Lord, thy wrath that was poured upon him in the place of poor sinners enduring an eternity in hell. Oh, and so we would come this morning with humble, thankful hearts for such a Saviour, for such love, and, Lord, and to ask for thy forgiving love and blood, that we are not the people that we ought to be, but all to come pleading with that echo in our hearts, "But Lord, thou knowest that I do love thee. Oh, for grace to love thee more." We bless thee, O Lord, for the congregation gathered this morning. We remember those who are away, for thy blessing to rest upon them. And, Lord, for those of us that have gathered, we pray, O Lord, that our time together will be profitable, that, Lord, that we may hear a little, Lord, to lead us and to guide us and direct us, or to feed us. And, Lord, as we consider a precious Jesus. And so as we think, O Lord, of the swift passing of time, another year almost gone, we do seek, O Lord, that each of us may have an interest in these glorious truths, that, O Lord, that our hearts may not be as was, Lord, with that little baby. There was no room for him in the inn. Lord, oh, that our hearts may be so enlarged, so favoured with thy love, Lord, that our inquiry might be that of the wise men, "Where is he?" And, Lord, we pray that we may go on, each of us, O Lord, to know and love the Lord. We pray, O Lord, for thy people here, thanking thee, O Lord, for upholding them through almost another year. We pray, O Lord, for thy servants in office, Lord, and as the burden now falls very much upon Howard, we thank thee for sustaining him. And, Lord, we do bless thee that dear Steve is with us. And, Lord, though thou hast been pleased to afflict him greatly, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy goodness to him. And, Lord, and so we commend them and each member of the church, each member of the congregation, Lord, into thy kind and gracious hands. We bless thee, O Lord, for the young friends. And, Lord, we bless thee as we hear the voice of little Benjamin. Truly thou art good. And so, Lord, hear our prayers. We do pray for thy servant, David Philpott, that thou wilt grant him healing mercies. We pray for Mark and Dawn at Osset, and all those that mourn at the loss of their dear mother. And, Lord, and we pray for all who mourn, that, Lord, they may prove the blessedness of "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We do thank Thee, O Lord, as we reflect on our last visit here in September of those dear friends from America. And Lord, we thank Thee that they have made contact and are in contact, and that we bless Thee for them. And yea, Lord, we ask that Thy blessing may rest upon each one that visits this house of God, that they may indeed realize that the Lord is here. Truly then, O Lord, Thou art good. We ask that in this dreadful, dark and solemn day in which we live, that, Lord, that Thy truth will still be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit, and indeed in many pulpits in our land. Have mercy on those, O Lord, that preach another gospel, as it were. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt have mercy. We ask, dear Lord, that there may be many seekers, O Lord, that they shall be found coming up to the house of God to hear the gospel trumpet sound. And, Lord, we pray that at the pews in this house of God, and indeed wherever Thy truth is faithfully proclaimed, may be filled with those such as shall be saved, blessing Thee that Thou knowest those that are Thine. So, Lord, do hear us then in these things. We ask that Thou wilt make up in giving where we do so fail in asking. Do wash us and cleanse us in Thy precious blood as we ask these things in that worthy, all-prevailing, lovely name, the name of Jesus, and for His sake alone. Amen.
Sing together our third hymn, which is number 63. Hymn 63 to the tune 228. Hark, the glad sound, the Saviour comes, the Saviour promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne and every voice a song. Hymn number 63.
seeking the Lord's help for a little while this morning and your very prayerful attention, turn with me to St. John's Gospel, chapter 18. St. John's Gospel, chapter 18, and reading verse 37. St. John, chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, that is Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Remarkable that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself in the person of his own dear Son, humbled himself as a body was prepared for him. He lost none of his deity, but a body was added to him like our own. And he was formed in Mary's womb by the Holy Ghost. He was born of a virgin. He was born in much humility. There was no room for him in the inn. The cattle shed was the place of his birth, and a cattle feeding trough, a manger, was his bed. And as he was born in that humble state, no room for him. The innkeeper, he missed so much, didn't he? As he didn't recognize, didn't understand that this baby that was to be born was so very, very special, the saviour of sinners. And he just directs them to the cattle shed. Oh, Herod, he missed it all, didn't he? So near and yet so far. He just saw him as a rival, and he sought by all means to be rid of him. And such was the solemnity of it all, that all of those babies, 2 years old and under, he ordered to be slain. He would not have this man. He missed him. He missed him completely. And so the religious leaders, oh, it was their thing, wasn't it, to have nothing to do. Nothing to do with this man, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It was only a little way for them to go to see this baby. But there's no room in their hearts for him. And as the hymn writer puts it, doesn't he, in the hymn of Joseph Hart's, number 39, in Gadsby's, the crowded in like sinners' hearts, O ignorance extreme, for other guests of various sorts had room, but none for him. And you know, dear friends, as we live in this desperately solemn secular age, we have many that decry any mention in the public square, as it were, of this dear man. Oh, there will be those that will complain if they see a nativity scene in the shopping centre. And friends, and you and I, if we're not very, very careful, that we can leave the house of God today, and there is actually no room for this dear man, this dear babe, the man Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, the Saviour of sinners, that we can become so wrapped up, can't we, in all that's going on and all that has to be done. You know, there's a story, I don't know how true it is, but there's a story of a man that he'd worked hard all of his life, and he was coming up for retirement, and he decided to throw a party for all of his ex-work colleagues, and friends. Were well over 100 that were invited to it. But as the day approached, he went into a fit of depression. Oh, if only I hadn't reached retirement age. If only I hadn't given up work. What am I going to do with myself? And the man was so depressed that he wasn't able to attend this party that he was throwing. But the party went ahead. The party went ahead, and it said that all enjoyed the time, that it's pretty certain that none of them actually missed the host at all. And friends, and that's just how it can be, isn't it, with you and I. The crowded in like sinners' hearts had room but none for him. But there was room, wasn't there? There was room in the lowest of the low, at the despised, those humble shepherds. Those humble shepherds, they were chosen, weren't they? Oh, it's not many mighty, not many noble, as Paul says. And we read, didn't we, in our reading in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Oh, friends, there's no pride, is there? When the Lord speaks, or when he appears, when he blesses a poor sinner, and it'll matter, friends, whether we are seekers, whether we are dead in trespasses and sins, whether we're seekers, whether we've been called by grace, and we're many, many years perhaps in the way. Don't we prove that Jesus is a humble way? A humble way. And there is no room for pride. As you've often heard me say, thy garden is the place where pride dare not intrude, for if it could, 'twould soon be drowned in Jesus' precious blood. Well, these dear shepherds, what was it with them? Though they were afraid, they hear this good news, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And what was their response? Let us go. Let us go. It came to pass in the 15th verse, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us. Let us. Now go. Oh, is the one that you're exercised about as to whether you should speak of the things of God? Or might it be this, that you speak one to another? It's often in the marriage union, you know, that there's no talk of better things, of spiritual things. It's hidden. But there's a time to speak, dear friends. There's a time to keep silence. Or might it be your exercise this morning? Let us. Let us. Oh, that we be united and not just together in matrimony, as precious as that is, but to be united in the things of God, to be united to Jesus the vine. Oh, to be amongst those branches together. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. What has the Lord made known to you, dear friends? Have you been trying to stifle it? Time will come when I must go. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. And they came with haste. There was no delay. They came with haste and found. Seekers shall be finders. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And so, dear friends, as we consider these glorious truths and we think of this, oh, this little baby, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a Saviour, born to die, that you know he never spoke of his birth. He never spoke of his humble beginnings until just before he goes to the cross. What humility! What humility! And he would say to you and I this morning, now come, follow me from the manger to the cross. It's highly significant, dear friends, highly significant that it is to this one who's interrogating him, this one who is to scourge him, that he speaks to him as he speaks to you and I this morning. That he was born to die, but he was born a king. He was born a king. Friends, if we never, ever get beyond his birth, if we never get beyond his birth, never favoured with that hunger and that thirst to know him, oh, to plead his forgiving love and blood, oh, to plead that these things that I hear week by week, that I too might be blessed with like forgiving love, with precious faith, to view him in my room, place and stead. Oh, he was to die for sinners. By his death, he procured the redemption of his dear people. By his death, he gave his life as a ransom for sinners. And so in this account that we have before us, where our text is in St. John 18, verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Art thou a king then? Jesus, he humbly stood, a spectacle of shame and disgrace. It's in the early hours, it's in the early hours of the morning. Oh, and all that he's been through, from sweating at great drops of blood in Gethsemane, as he pleads with his Father that if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He's seen all forsake him and flee. He's seen his beloved Peter, whom he had told that you will deny me. Before the cock crows, you'll have denied me thrice. Oh, he's a spectacle of disgrace. And as it says, he says to Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom of this world were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Friends, he could have commanded legions of angels to come and deliver him. He could have delivered himself. But no, he must die. He must die for poor hell-deserving sinners. Oh, as the hymn writer writes about him on the cross, as they mocked him to come down from the cross and save yourself, that it is in this, from all of this trial, this scourging, the previous mocking and all that went on, himself he cannot save, as Kelly says in 1012, insulting foe, 'tis true, the words a gracious meaning have, though meant in scorn by you. Oh, once he meant nothing to us, did he? But now, oh, we see him, that yes, he could have saved himself, but he died for me. He died for me, that I might not die at the second death and remain forever in an eternity in hell. Himself he cannot say, this is his highest praise. Himself for others' sake he gave and suffers in their place. Oh, and so he could have been delivered. He could have delivered himself. He could have, as he says to Pilate, that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And so Pilate, well, art thou a king then? Art thou a king? Oh, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. When he answered, thou sayest that I am a king. Friends, I believe that what he was referring to, that there was an arrow of conviction to go to Pilate. "Can you see me, Pilate? Can you see in me your king? Can you see in me that I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Saviour of sinners?" "Oh, have the scales been taken from your eyes, Pilate, that you're asking these questions, that you can see in me that I am indeed the King of Kings?" And dear friends, and that's how it is with so many, that they come so near and yet so far. There's no room in the inn. There's no room in sinners' hearts. They never, ever hear that effectual calling. Their one aim is this: I will not have this man to reign over me. I'll just go along with the flow. I'll go as far as I can, but I'm not going to commit myself to anything. And if any pressure comes on me, I'm off. For I know not this man as my king. I know him not as my saviour. And I have no desire to. I am very comfortable going as I am. And I believe that my chapel going, my lifestyle, and my kindness to this one and that one, and seeking to do good to everyone, that will land me safe in heaven. And how many there are that believe that. Oh, would our Jesus, would this dear man, would he really have suffered such an agonizing death? Would he really have humbled himself to the womb of Mary? Would he really have suffered the wrath of God as payment was made, that the wages of sin is death, that he had to die, in the sinner's room, place and stead, as the gift of God to poor sinners as their substitutes? Friends, we demean, don't we, if ever we go down that route, that goodness of our own will procure salvation. Oh, how we demean the very office of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We have no idea at all, we have no understanding of the cost to put away sin. And friends, and it is for you and I to follow him as we follow him from the manger to the cross, that we follow him in the footsteps of the Lamb, that we take up our cross daily, not just when we feel like it. Take up our cross daily. We stop using a holy God, as it were, as a vending machine, just pleading with him when we're in a spot of trouble or sorrow. We come to him as the bread of life, as he reveals himself to us as the friend of sinners. Oh, and so Pilate, so do you see me? Do you see me as a king? Have the scales fallen from off your eyes? He says, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice."
Have you heard the voice of Jesus? And so Pilate makes an inquiry. He inquires, what is truth? What is truth? We have in the psalm, in the psalmist, doesn't he? He said, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. We have as the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We have that account of Nicodemus in St. John's Gospel and chapter 3. And he comes inquiring, doesn't he? And he says in that chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Oh, that will never save us, will it? A bit of head knowledge will never save. A bit of lip service will never save. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot. That's so searching, isn't it? He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Oh, friends, it's like an underground work, isn't it? As the Lord begins a work of grace in a poor sinner's heart. Oh, and so, Jesus, what is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As we go further on in that third chapter of John, he speaks, doesn't he, of Moses lifting up the serpent. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the 14th verse in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's look and live. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, what is truth? He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. And friends, it condemns much more those of us that come regularly to the house of God than ever it does the poor sinner out in the world, dead in trespasses and in sins. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Friends, as we come up to the house of God, is that which we hear, is it a savour of life unto life? Or is it solemnly true that it's a savour of death unto death? For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But, favour with this, favour with this seekers, finders, favour with this, that the Lord has been merciful. He's calling by his grace. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so Pilate, art thou a king then? Art thou a king then? Oh, Jesus, well, you said it, Pilate. You said it. I am the king. It wasn't ambiguous at what Jesus was saying. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. As that hymn 1062 speaks of Kelly's, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people raise their song, rich in glory. Thou didst stoop, thou that art the people's hope, thou wast poor, that they might be rich in glory, Lord, with thee. Is that your longing desire? To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. To know him and to be favoured with that living desire. To press toward the mark. Whatever comes in your way, whatever cross lies at your door, to humbly believe that it's coming from the Lord. As you're in the school of sanctification and being led along to be forever with the Lord. I am the way, the truth and the life. Oh, what is truth? And so it is, dear friends, isn't it? How stands the case, my soul with thee? For heaven are thy credentials sure. Oh, is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Well, Pilate, he says in the 38th verse, what is truth?
And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault at all in this man. I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Oh, are the scales falling from Pilate's eyes? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas, release Barabbas, the robber. Now Barabbas was a robber. And then we read, and oh friends, it matters not what things we might utter, what deeds we might do. That oh, if the scales have never been taken from our eyes, if we've never been favoured with gospel ears, if we've never been brought to that, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of sin and death? That we should be left like Pilate, for in the very next verse, as chapter 19 begins, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Oh, the Roman scourge, the cruelty many died under the lashings of the Roman scourge. And so it is, dear friends, I will not have this man to reign over me. And friends, and Pilate was lost. And solemn the thought, isn't it? Forever in the fire of hell. What is truth? What is truth? Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus said, My sheep. Oh, wonderful, isn't it? That the shepherds, they were the first to go and see him. And Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, yea, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so, as Jesus says in St. John's Gospel and chapter 10, as he speaks about his sheep, and he says he speaks about climbing up some other way, and he says in verse 2, But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Plead it, sinner, that he'll find you. You'll hear his voice. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger, all those things that you're holding on to, I can't let that go, I can't let this go. But oh, they become strangely dim. Oh, they now irk. As your desire is to follow him, to feed upon Christ, the bread of life. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for
they know not the voice of strangers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. What is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, the Son of God. The Son of God became a son of man, that the son of men might become the sons of God. Plead it, dear friends, to be adopted into the family of God. Plead it that all this was done for you, as you're favoured and blessed with living faith, to view him suffering in your room, place and stead. He was born to die, to procure your salvation. Plead that, dear friend. Born to die, to procure the salvation of all who live to feel their needs. Well, our time is rapidly gone. But oh, that friend, that you might be blessed. You might be blessed with this, as dear Paul was. And with this, as we read this, so we'll close. As Paul penned it to the Romans in Romans chapter 7, and he says in verse 17, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Yes, he was sold unto sin. That was his complaint. But he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And friends, and it says, these things are real. That they're real. You've been favoured with that effectual call. Not as Pilate. No, he'll ask the questions. "But I will not have this man to reign over me. But all my living desire is to know nothing else but Jesus crucified. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So then, this is the result. "So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Oh, is Jesus precious to you? Amen.
Is number 66, Hymns of Worship. Hymn 66 to the tune 804. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem, come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Hymn number 66.
Oh, call all ye.
the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all. Amen.